Father in heaven, how great it is to be able to share together as friends and fellow believers. And what a wonderful, encouraging message you've given, not only to us individually, but to a world that is out of control and in great need of your personal touch in their lives. Thank you for this time we can have together, and we ask your blessing upon our program. In Jesus' name, amen. How is everyone today? Good. Blessed. I want to share a wonderful statement with you. It's from Desire of Ages, page 827. And it says this. It's a promise. All, how many?
All.
All who consecrate soul, body, and spirit to God will be constantly receiving a new endowment of physical and mental power. Do you like that idea? A new endowment of physical and mental power. The inexhaustible supplies of heaven are at their command. Do you like that idea? Do we get exhausted? But the inexhaustible supply, I think of Joseph and his grain pits, you know, those granaries that he had. He held the key to those granaries. He had the corn of heaven for starving people. And when the children of Israel were fed out of those grain pits, it didn't even make a dent. So the inexhaustible supplies of heaven are at their command. Through cooperation with Christ, they are complete in Him, and in their human weakness, they are enabled to do the deeds of omnipotence. Do we need to wait until we've got everything down perfectly before we begin to work? No. We're told that as we humbly profess what we know, we will grow in grace and truth. I love that idea. You don't have to look like Barbie to do a program. You don't have to be a genius, a Nobel laureate. You just have to humbly profess what you know. We did a training event in Michigan where we trained 125 lay people to do the Simple Solutions program. It's on the back table back there. And it's a 4-session program that takes place over a 2-week period. And we had the most wonderful time training these lay people. And they held meetings at 100 different sites throughout the state the same month. We blitzed the state with billboards and ads and radio ads. And there was one 78-year-old woman that had never done anything up front before. And the facilitator's guide tells you everything to do step by step, including we even give you how to say hello. We call it evangelism in a box. So there's nothing left to the imagination. It's all there for you to make it easy. Well, this dear woman was trying to memorize the welcome. It was a 5-minute part in the program that she had, and she was terrified. She was calling me on the phone every day, you know, near tears, and we were praying together, and I just said, you know, you don't need to memorize the hello. It's just a sample. And you're 78 years old. You've said hello to people all your life. You don't need to be worried about this. And she just was fussing and fretting and carrying on about it. Well, finally, the big night came, and she discovered that night that she had a new gift. She had the gift of rapport. And after 15 minutes, the brethren had to help her to finish up and sit down. People loved that woman so much that I think they came to the program just to be around her. She was so sweet. And so you don't need to be a skilled professional to share wonderful, simple things. It's just great. People need social healing as much as they need physical healing. And that's what we are here for. Now, how many of you think that what you eat can affect your mind? How many of you think it can affect your stress levels? How easily you are stressed? How about your mood? Or your memory, or learning? What about behavior? Can what you eat affect your behavior? I'm going to share another statement with you that I think is wonderful, and then we're going to have a little trivia quiz. It says here in 4 Testimonies 5:84, true science, what kind of science? True science and inspiration are in perfect harmony. What kind of harmony? Perfect harmony. Now, I'm going to read you some statements. Some are from science, some are from inspiration. And I'm going to read the statement, and I'm not going to tell you if it's from science or inspiration. I want you to guess, and I want you to tell me, because it's really interesting. Critics sometimes claim that a focus on ordinary measures like exercise and diet is too simplistic to affect unordinary behavior. Not so. The brilliantly simple evidence from new areas of science show how powerful such universal factors can be in affecting the brain-body system. Science or inspiration? Okay, that was science. Here's one. Erroneous eating and drinking lead to erroneous thinking and acting. Science or inspiration? That was inspiration. Repeated poor food choices set fundamental patterns in the production of brain chemicals that regulate appetite and mood so that you become a victim of mood swings, food cravings, poor sleep habits, and other emotional problems because of poor eating habits. Science or inspiration? Science. The mind is seriously affected by what we eat and drink. Inspiration. We are only just beginning to understand how the brain is influenced by the nutrients that it derives from foods we eat and how diets have an impact on mental health. That's right. Can what you eat influence your mental function? The answer is certainly yes. Science or inspiration? Science. This is a giveaway. Indulged appetite is the greatest hindrance to mental improvement and soul sanctification. I haven't read that in a journal yet, but it's true. Isn't it phenomenal how close these statements are? We could do the same thing with exercise. We could do the same thing with brain plasticity, brain growth, all the things we were talking about yesterday. We could actually do the same thing. Now, yesterday, a little business to take care of. Some of you are here for the first time today. We have the Balance magazine here. If you did not pick up your free copy of Balance magazine, it is here. We have a free two different DVDs to share about the programs and a paper on how you can save a lot of money getting the modules. We also have two handouts for today. Please, one per family. 23 ways to curb food cravings is one of them. And then the advantages of a healthy breakfast. So be sure you don't leave without taking advantage of that. What I would like to do right now, and some of you may have seen this before, but it never ceases to amaze me. We're going to have a very practical day today, and we're going to also see a DVD clip. What I would like to show you is what is called a psychopharmacologic dose of a macronutrient. Now, what is that? Okay, what are macronutrients? What are the three nutrients that we need in large amounts? We need protein, very good, and we need carbohydrate, and we need fats. Protein, carbohydrate, and fat, those are macronutrients. Macro meaning larger, the larger amount that we need in the diet. The micronutrients are the vitamins and the minerals. So we need macronutrients. So what is pharmacology? Pharmacology has to do with drugs. What does psyche have to do with? The brain. So what we want to demonstrate to you right now is what is called a brain altering dose of a nutrient. And sugar is a nutrient. Now, for those of you sitting kind of far away, you may want to come up close for today's program because we have a lot of things to show up here that you won't be able to see from far away. And the one sitting the farthest back gets to sing a solo. No, just kidding. No, we don't believe in intimidation. All right, so to do this, I'm going to call on a volunteer in a moment, but how many of you have seen this? We're not talking about an after-dinner mint here. There is a big difference. I am not opposed to a little bit of sugar, but the problem is we're having a birthday party for breakfast, Christmas for lunch, Thanksgiving for dinner, 4th of July before we go to bed, and a lot of fireworks, but not the kind we want. This is a 64-ounce cup that you can buy at the gas station and get fountain drinks of all types. And it seems to me that the boys especially like this. I've seen a whole troop of boys go into the gas station and you buy the cup for $4 and then for 99 cents you can fill it up all summer long. You keep that cup and you go in there and fill it up for 99 cents. And I've seen them go in and fill it up and take some drinks and then fill it up again and take some more because they want to be sure and get the 99 cents worth. Well, in one of these 64-ounce cups, there are 135 grams of fructose. That's one type of sugar. 135 grams. Do you know how many peaches you would have to eat in one sitting to get that much fructose? Somebody said 25. Somebody said 30. That's close enough. 33 peaches. You would have to eat 33 peaches in one sitting because a lowly peach only has 4 grams of fructose. So this is what we would call a drug dose of a macronutrient. And it has a shaping effect on the brain if this continues over time. I would dare say the first time somebody drank this, they would get sick. But as they became habituated to it, what would happen? I was talking to a lady came up to me today and said that when she was quite overweight, morbidly overweight, perhaps 100 pounds, just changing one habit, getting rid of the soft drink, she dropped 30 pounds without any other change. So this is a significant source of calories. Now, I would like to have somebody come up and help me. I need a volunteer. Come on up. And what is your name?
Barbara.
Barbara. And I hope everyone is going to notice Barbara's t-shirt that says, "It's my very own." Okay, it's my very own. And her booth is over there, and they make these darling bags for foster children. So visit her booth. It's wonderful. Well, Barbara, you're going to be my helper today, so let's stand over here. Facing the audience. Do you recognize this? What is it? It's a Mountain Dew. That's right. And do you recognize this? And this is easy. Yep, we make the questions easy. This is a bigger Mountain Dew. You know what my husband calls these? He calls them Mountain Don't. And there's a good reason why. I worked with a lady in California that was drinking 10 of these a day. Another lady in Michigan, 2 liters by lunchtime every single day. So she was significantly challenged with this. Well, I need to grab my eyeglasses. And let's just look at the sugar content of this, Barbara, and do a little experiment. How many sugars do you see here? How many grams?
31 grams.
31 grams. Now, that does not mean anything to most people. In one teaspoon, there are 4 grams. So I'm going to hand this to Barbara, and if we round this to 32 to make that math easy, what is 4 into 32? 8. So how many teaspoons in a serving? Okay, so let's count together, everybody. 1, doesn't have to be perfect, 2, 3, 4, 5, nobody's counting, 6, 7, 8. Now that's a significant amount of sugar. You wouldn't put that much on your oatmeal, or if your child put that much on their oatmeal, you would. If they put 1, that would be okay. Probably 2, that's enough, but 8? But that is not the end of this story, Barbara. How many servings in the small bottle of Mountain Dew?
2.5.
They do not tell you on the commercials that you are supposed to share this with 1.5 friends. So we need another serving, which is how many teaspoons? 8, and another half a serving, which is 4. So altogether, we're going to add 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Altogether, we have how many? 20. So in this small bottle of Mountain Dew, this is a 20-ounce bottle, we have 20 teaspoons. But most people don't just have a soda. They want to have energy for the morning. Often they've skipped breakfast and want a little something in their stomach, so they'll combine it with this kind of a combination. And I see this at the airport all the time when I travel. And some people do this again and again and again during the day. So Snickers is a favorite. Let's see what we're looking at here, Barbara. How many grams?
21
grams. So we'll round it down to 20 to make the math easy. 4 grams in 1 teaspoon, 4 into 20 is 5. What's the next question we need to ask? How many servings?
3.
Okay. Are you sharing your Snickers with 2 friends? This is a serving. This is a serving. This is 3 servings. So let's go ahead and put in how many teaspoons if you eat the whole bar? 1, 2, 3, 4. What happened to my helpers? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13, 14, and that was a little shy. Let's put a little more.
The others were heaping.
Yeah, the others were kind of heaping. Yeah. About like that. So this is 1 snack. Do you think that might have an effect? Do you think that this might have an effect on your energy levels? Or how well you can think and solve problems in the afternoon or in the morning? Or what about stress? Or sleepiness. Do you think this might have... I remember one time at ASI we were doing this demonstration. It was really fun because we had a little microphone and we had little chairs set up front and a drawing, and it was kind of a fair type of atmosphere. And there was a janitor lady standing in the back watching by... she was standing next to her trash receptacle that she was pulling around, picking up trash. And at the end of the demonstration, she screamed. And she threw her Mountain Dew in the trash. Said, I am never going to touch that again. So now, if we were to have the large Mountain Dew, you'd have to add to this about another 15 teaspoons, and we really can't even fit it all in here. Barbara, thank you for helping us today. You can be seated now. Yes, let's give her a hand. She did really well. All right. Now that is a simple sugar. Your body wants sugar, doesn't it? We need sugar, but we need it in long chains. These are called glucose units. And we're going to be talking about your fabulous forgotten friend, fiber, today. But when we have these little short units in very large doses, we're not talking about a cookie. You know, I'll do these dietary questionnaires with people, and I'll say, well, do you eat many sweets? Well, no, I just have a cookie. Well, okay, there are cookies, and then there are cookies that you should eat with 4 or 5 of your friends. And so people don't realize that these portion sizes really can create havoc, not only with weight, but with mental function. So when we take these large doses of these nutrients, they actually act as anti-nutrients. They can strip the body of the magnesium and B vitamins that we need for stress control and proper metabolism, energy production. We're going to talk more about that. But I want to show you again another drug-like dose of a macronutrient, and let's do that with fat. Now remember, F-A-T is not spelled B-A-D. We need fat in the diet. It is very, very important, not only for insulation, but about 9 different hormones are produced in fatty tissue that are important for regulating appetite and for producing very powerful hormones that regulate our metabolism. They are carriers for the fat-soluble vitamins and phytochemicals. They are precursors for very powerful neurotransmitters that modulate mood. They dictate the integrity and flexibility and the conductivity of cells, because all of our cells are made up of these fatty acids. And so fat is important, but if we get the wrong kind, it affects the integrity of our tissues, brain tissue, nerve tissue, blood tissue, so that the communication between those tissues begins to decline. The cell structures become stiffer. So some of the fats that are challenging in large amounts are the saturated fats, particularly the animal saturated fat, which is solid at room temperature. We think of your meats. We think of hard cheeses. We think of egg yolks. We think of butter and trans fatty acids, the margarines that are hydrogenated. These kinds of fats have a very stiffening effect and actually cause inflammation and increase pain and depression. There's a linear relationship with the ingestion of large amounts of these fatty acids and clinical depression and problems with impulsivity. So these are things that we need to understand, because there is an effect on mental health. Now, fat calculations are a little bit different. For a teaspoon of fat, there are 5 grams. A tablespoon has how many teaspoons? 3 teaspoons in a tablespoon, and there are 15 grams in a tablespoon. Now, if a person, along with their soda pop and candy bar, goes to have lunch at McDonald's and they have a cheeseburger and fries, is that a pretty common lunch? A cheeseburger and fries? They're going to get anywhere from 50 to 60 grams of fat. Let's see what that looks like. This is how much? 15. And then we have 30. And then we add to that how much? 45. And one more is 60. So this is the amount of fat that you are ingesting with an order of French fries and a cheeseburger. It is also the amount of fat that you are going to be getting in with an 8-ounce steak or a small filet mignon. How does all that fat get in there? I guess it's marbled. Do you know people that might eat 2 of these in a meal? Or if they have the steak, then they'll have a baked potato with sour cream and butter, and an iceberg lettuce with Roquefort, and a roll with butter. And so the fat calories really add up. And there are mental health effects as well as physical health effects with this. It is also the same amount of fat that you're going to get with 6 handfuls of Fritos. Just 6 handfuls of Fritos, or 4 average-sized slices of cheese pizza, 60 grams of fat. Now imagine if a person has a lunch like this, the McDonald's burger and fries, and they add to it a small soda and candy bar. There's 15 grams of fat in the candy bar. And so this is what lunch looks like for many, many people. Yummy, huh? As I said earlier, we do have detention for those that don't get it. We make you stay after class and go through it all over again. We did this one time with a very smart alecky high school student, a boy who was having a good time up here, being silly, and I came to the event late and I did not have my sugar with me, so I borrowed salt from the kitchen. And after the demonstration, he took a big mouthful of it to show me a thing or two, and he nearly keeled over right on the floor. It was just perfect. I don't know if he could open his mouth for the next hour. Now, I want to draw your attention, before we see our video clip, and then we're going to do some exciting things on this end of the table, I want to draw your attention to some features that are in this book. The video clip that you are about to see is really exciting, and it is a part of this module, the Foods for Thought module. And in the book, this is the workbook, it comes with a DVD, audiobook, cookbook, manual, everything on DVD, even the lifestyle features are on DVD. But in this particular book, I wanted to draw your attention to a few features that are available. This is called Three Cheers for Salad, Raw, Raw, Raw. And it's a nice little section on the advantages of fruits and vegetables raw, but it also has a very nice section on the advantages of cooked fruits and cooked vegetables, because there's a balance, isn't there? So that's a very nice section in this book. There are wonderful recipes. This is Brown Bag Buffet, which is how to eat out healthfully in a hurry, and then color on your plate. There are other features in here as well. And so I wanted to draw your attention to that. The average American eats their meal at lunchtime in 11 minutes. 30% of Americans eat their meal in a car every day. And when we eat these 11-minute fast food meals, it's sitting in a chair that's nailed to the floor too far from the table. It does not create an atmosphere of well-being. And when we create a nice atmosphere when we're eating, your body actually produces hormones of well-being, bonding hormones. So when we eat together and enjoy food together, or even if we're by ourselves, instead of eating in front of the TV or computer, I light a candle. I have a nice ceramic plate. I put my fruit and vegetables on to make it beautiful for me, and I create an atmosphere for myself so that these hormones of well-being are produced. I had a friend tell me one time that eating with me was like eating with a wolf at a feed. I was so fast. Everything I did was so fast, and that candle reminds me to slow down. It reminds me that the Lord is there with me, even if there's not another person. But we need to start creating an atmosphere around our meals. Matter of fact, Dane said one thing I would take issue with this morning in his sermon. He said that when the Lord speaks to the Laodiceans, he says, I'll come and eat with you. He doesn't say that. He says, I'll come and sup with you. And that's a different kind of an experience. Remind me to tell him that. He needs my help, too. So... Now, in this book, Simple Solutions, How to Lower Stress, Increase Immunities, and Lower Depression, there's a really wonderful section in here called Lowering Stress, One Bite at a Time, Healthy Holiday Traditions, and here's a very nice section on dietary fiber and how to achieve fiber goals and some great sources of fiber. And in our Living Free book, this is just a really exciting section on building a better brain. And the DVD, we have a whole section on the DVD of how to eat out, how to do fast foods, how to cook quickly how to cook meals very quickly in your kitchen, 10 minutes or less. This is Health in a Hurry, Successful Eating Out, and Building a Better Menu. So building a better brain, building a better menu. So those are some helpful things I wanted to draw your attention to. Well, before we go into the next section over here, we're going to go ahead and have our DVD clip. This clip is some of you may have seen it before. This is a shortened version of it. It's only 8 minutes that we're going to be watching, and it's a school for juvenile delinquents in Appleton, Wisconsin. And what happened when dietary changes were implemented in this school, you'll be very interested to see.
We know proper nutrition is essential to students. What and when they eat significantly affects their ability to learn. The Appleton Area School District in Wisconsin is taking a community-wide approach to school nutrition. It began in 1997 at Appleton Central Alternative High School with a pioneering healthy food program.
Can you hear?
Sponsored by Natural Ovens of Manitowoc.
In January of 1997, I visited Central High School as a prospective
employee. We made it up. The volume up.
I observed the students that were housed here at the time and found them to be rude, obnoxious, very crude, and ill-mannered.
I was brought over to the school because the school was out of control. They were having a lot of problems with rebellious students, weapons violations, things of that nature. So they wanted a cop on school premise at all times.
We started the food program approximately 3.5 years ago. One Friday, the kids were here. They had candy machines and pop machines in the student lounge. The following Monday, they came to school, and they were greeted by water coolers and healthy bagels, and energy drink for breakfast.
Since we started the program,
the nutrition, the natural ovens program, with the complete diet, the balanced diet, I have seen a total change in the students and the environment within the school. It's amazing.
Now, 5 years later, I actually have a job here. I was hesitant once again to start and found that the atmosphere is entirely different. The students are calm, they're well behaved. I don't have to deal with the daily discipline issues. Out and out disciplining of students, that just isn't an issue here.
Every year, we are required to file a state report. On the state report, they include information regarding the number of dropouts, expulsions, drugs, weapons, suicides. Since we've started this program, all 3 years, zeros is what I have had to report. That's a pretty nice report to fill out.
We have kids who were identified as being at risk, kids who had been truant, kids who had had a lot of problems. We got through the whole last year without an expulsion. Dropouts dropped to non-existence. Kids came to school. They were happy. They have learned that with healthier foods, it's going to make them a better person. It keeps them more focused. It makes them happier at their work.
And the returning students are now the advocates for the program. The kids encourage each other. They set the example, and they demonstrate proper eating habits to the new kids. It works great.
Well, when I have kids asking me, hey, Dan, you know, how much do you work out a week? What do you do here? What do you eat? Is this what you eat all the time? And it's almost like now the kids are interested.
Well, physically, I couldn't be able to run long distance. I couldn't be able to do flips or sports or work out as to my ability if I wasn't eating right.
When I first came here, I really liked the food. It tastes good. It's hot. It's fresh. There's no preservatives in it. There's no too much seasoning, anything like that. It just helped a lot to have some people that put that much time and effort into your food.
Students, teachers, and staff all notice students' improved attitude. They're happier, more receptive, and show a congenial sense of humor.
From a social work standpoint, I think it's made my job easier because we don't have the angry outbursts that we're dealing with. So instead, we get to deal with the real issues that are underlying and causing some of the problems and the concerns in our kids' lives. And I think it's easier to talk to kids today than it was a few years ago before we started the program, before the kids were getting the basic nutrition in their diet.
It's the education process that they're receiving. They're feeling worthwhile about themselves over here, or it's the food that they're receiving, or it's a combination of all three. I like the all three put together because their kids are a lot more productive than they've ever been in their lives.
Now that I concentrate, I think it is easier to get along with people because now I'm paying attention to what they have to say and just not worrying about what I need to say to them.
Our biggest problems right now at this school are parking in the parking lot and student tardiness. I don't have the disruptions in class or the difficulties with student behavior that perhaps I experienced 4 years ago before we started the food program.
The foods here is a general group of foods that a teenager would be consuming in 1 day's time. Children that come to school on an empty stomach or with the highly sugared cereals, artificial colorings, flavorings, the candy bars, the soda pop loaded with sugar, sometimes 150 teaspoons to 180 teaspoons of sugar a day. The fat, the actual hydrogenated fat with the trans fats there that are so harmful for the body. The french fries, the chips, the burgers, and of course, the soft drinks. The caffeine, the sugar, the artificial flavorings again. Not the kinds of things that a young body, a young growing body, a young learning body should be putting in their system.
A lot of these kids, when we first asked them, what did you have for breakfast today? You'd be surprised that 90% of them had absolutely nothing, and we were at lunchtime already. So they've had no breakfast, no lunch, and they're trying to be productive people without anything in their system at all.
If you've been guzzling Mountain Dew and eating chips and, you know, you're flying all over the place, I don't think you're going to pick up a whole lot in class.
Healthy food has had more of an impact than we thought. We believed that it would help settle the kids down, which it has done, but I think we were surprised the impact it's had on academic learning.
Good, healthy food that helps you function, pretty much. If you're going for a big test, you want to eat right.
The kind of foods that we should be eating. The fresh fruit, the fresh vegetables, the whole grains. At least 8 glasses of water a day. The whole grain cereals. Things that nourish the body. Things that give the neurotransmitters the nutrients that they need to learn.
You really have to have the right fuel to start the fire. And the fire of learning needs a healthy mind and a healthy body.
Personally, I think I've been able to demand more academically from my students over the last few years than I could when we first opened the school without the nutrition program. I use all of the minutes in the class period for instruction.
More recently, the district's approach to nutrition is broadening to encompass elementary and middle schools as well as high schools. Each school is adapting and refining ideas according to their circumstances.
At this point right now, one of our middle schools is fully on healthy foods. We anticipate that the other three will be by the end of the year. We're also getting rid of pop machines and in general have a district-wide approach to healthier lifestyles and healthier eating.
Two middle schools in Appleton are taking different routes at different speeds. Einstein Middle School's approach is more incremental.
What we've done is we've cut way back on the amount of fats that we've offered a la carte, and we've cut way back on the amount of sweets that we've offered and completely cut out candy. Since we started this, and I'd have to say it's subtle and not as striking, but what I've noticed is more calmness, but less bouncy activity. Students seem to me to be more alert and focused.
In the morning, I'm extremely busy because I come to school, I go to homeroom, I go to Spanish, I go to English, I go to tech ed, and then I end up going to history before I can even get a lunch, so it's really important for me to get a breakfast in. So if I didn't eat breakfast, it'd be well over 12 hours before I'd get another meal in me.
I think you also have to take 3 or 4 years to really make a full transition for a district of 25 schools and 15,000 students, because I think if you try and just implement it all at once without taking a look at the curriculum, working with the parents and the faculty, you run the danger of really trying to sell something that will sell on its own merits given time.
The time had come to take it seriously and to extend respect to the students and to ourselves and take some action on good health. They are buying the a la carte treats that we have that meet those guidelines. And this year we have baked chips and all the things that meet the guidelines. We have a growing use of the salad bar this year in both 7th and 8th grade.
I started to like it more because I started eating healthier.
This year I have my bathroom. It's a lot better because I've been eating breakfast in the morning and eating healthier and having a salad for lunch.
In the morning, from 7:30 to 7:50, when the kids are in the halls, we have not had one incident all year that I've had to get involved in with shoving, a fight, aggressive behavior that would take place.
Well, I've been teaching here for almost 30 years. I see the kids this year as calmer. They're easier to talk to. They just seem more rational. I thought about retiring this year, and basically I've decided to teach another year. So I'm having too much fun.
I think instead of looking at the food program as a break-even, I think we have to take a look at is what do we need to put in to really make it good for kids.
Nutrition for students should be part of a general operating budget. We're concerned about everything else. We're concerned about new band uniforms. We're concerned about the football team. We're concerned about books, textbooks. Why not be concerned about nutrition? That seems to me the basis in many cases for creating a positive learning environment.
I can't buy the argument that it's too costly for schools to provide good nutrition for their students. I found that one cost will reduce another. I don't have the vandalism. I don't have the litter. I don't have the need for high security.
If you're going to have a healthy meal, it's going to take some time, it's going to take some effort, and school districts are going to have to buy into it as a whole. Let's invest in these kids now, you know, financially with food versus investing them later, financially with how do we correct the problems that we have, depression and all those other things because they're not eating healthy.
But if it's the right thing to do, and it results in a happier kid, improved learning, and ultimately just a better community, then it's a cost we cannot avoid. It's something we must do.
We've got to stop using our most precious commodity, our kids, to make extra money.
Pretty impressive, isn't it? And I don't know if you caught that graphic, but this school district saved $5 million in 2 years in vandalism, trash, malicious horseplay, the kinds, rule violations, those kinds of things, having police and social workers on campus. $5 million they saved, even after accounting for the increased cost of the healthy food. We have, this is from, as I said, our Foods for Thought program, and this is the workbook that the participants receive when they come to the class. And one of our pastors in the inner city in Grand Rapids held a Foods for Thought program, and the price of attending the program was $20. It was a $20 fee, or they would provide scholarship if you couldn't afford to come. And they had 80 people from the inner city attend this program. It was an amazing experience. There was one woman, her name was Natasha, and within 2 weeks, her little boy was off of Ritalin. One in every eight little boys in the Midwest is on Ritalin for some sort of behavior disorder. Do you think that nutrition and lifestyle might have a part to play? I think that we can see the evidence is that there is a link there. So, as we consider the importance of nutrition, we think, oh, I've got to revamp my whole diet. No, you need to just make different choices, one bite at a time, one meal at a time, one choice at a time. And one of the most common characteristics of people with that are challenged with their weight or with adult onset diabetes or heart disease, high cholesterol, especially weight issues, is the fact that they tend to be breakfast skippers. Why are people breakfast skippers? Why do people? Because why? Because we're eating too much supper. That is true. People are eating before they go to bed. Did you have your hand up? Same thing. Eating too much at night, sedentary, not feeling well from all the high-fat, high-sugar diet, which has an effect on insulin levels and insulin resistance. Eating like this for just a couple of weeks begins to create a diabetic profile. It does not take long to produce insulin resistance. And we can talk a little bit about what that means and how that impacts us. It has been estimated that all overweight people have some degree of insulin resistance, particularly those that have the mid-body fat deposition, and 20% of normal weight people. Because can you be a normal weight person and yet have a high percentage of body fat and a low percentage of lean muscle? When we do our diabetes classes, I tell people, and they have to repeat after me, it's all about muscle. Can you repeat that after me, please? It's all about muscle. And tomorrow we're going to talk about muscle. We're going to talk about building lean muscle. We're going to talk about muscle in your brain. And we're going to be talking about the attitude factor as well. Well, but today we're on a different topic. What is the missing element, the main missing element from this group of foods? It is fiber. We call it your fabulous forgotten friend, fiber. Now, can somebody tell me what the average consumption of fiber is in the American diet on a daily basis? Does anybody have any idea how many grams a day the average American consumes in dietary fiber? Very little, that's true. You're saying five? A little bit more than that, between 8 to 10 grams of fiber a day. That is not very much. When you're talking about Egg McMuffin breakfast and burgers for lunch, you'd have to eat every sesame seed on your bun and maybe a little bit of the paper. How much dietary fiber is in a piece of meat? How much fiber is in a tough piece of meat? That's good. Very good. None. If you have a piece of fish and you eat a piece of the bone, how much fiber are you getting? Oh, this is a sharp class. I can't trick you. That is absolutely correct. Where's the only place that we can find fiber? And she's pointing to the fruits and vegetables. Only from plant foods. Only from plant foods. I asked an audience one time, we do a lot of these things. I have a chance every year to teach a class at the medical school. We do things at hospitals and public schools. And one public venue I had one time, I asked the question, what is dietary fiber? And this was a man from the South, and he had that drawl. And I said, what is dietary fiber? And he said, sawdust. Well, it's not sawdust. That is not correct. But it's some good stuff. Now, there are, most Americans are only getting 8 to 10 grams a day. Now, but they may be getting 60 grams. And remember, we saw what that looked like. They may be getting 60 grams of fat at every single meal and maybe 30 or 40 teaspoons of sugar at every meal, but almost zero fiber. What does that look like? It looks like Egg McMuffins for breakfast, coffee and donuts. I mentioned that at one series of meetings we had at a doctor's office, and the man raised his hand. He said, that's a good breakfast for me. Usually I